Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Oh, letting go, God.
And welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, or Larry Rhodes. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, May 30th at 7 o'clock p.m. So if your date or time is different from that, you could be listening to a rebroadcast of this show, podcast, whatever. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And let's check in with Wombat, who should be on the line. Can you give us a hi there?
Hey, it's the Wombat. What's up, everybody? New week, new problems, new solutions. Yeah. I'm here to go.
Yeah, something must be wrong because you're coming in loud and clear. This is live radio. You're supposed to be marginal at best. Anyway, if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you about them later on in the show, after the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there was an atheist call-in television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville? It's going on right now, matter of fact. It starts at 6:30 and goes to 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12. Did you know that, Wombat?
Yeah, but I wasn't a fan. I really didn't think they needed to do a backstory on Han Solo. I think they were better off just, like have him just be the trilogy and that's it. Why go through the efforts to make a whole backstory?
No.
It's supposed to be a
rogue. You must be confused.
End of the story.
This is a TV show, not a movie. And it's been going on for almost 8 years now. In August, I think it'll be 8 years. And you can go on YouTube and check out their archives of some of the older shows. There's 8 years of archive on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and look for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville, and you'll find more than you can watch in any short period of time. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll hear some of them right here in this program and generally on this station because they are in rotation. So what's our topic today there, Wombat?
Our topic is how to talk to anyone about anything. This Sunday, I'm actually going to be going down to Pellissippi College in just outside of Knoxville. Is the town called Pellissippi?
The campus is called Pellissippi State.
Okay, what city is it in?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, great. So I am going back to the Knox Patch. So I'm going back to Knoxville to talk on Sunday at the Rationalists of East Tennessee's Sunday meeting at Pellissippi College. Looking really forward to it. This will be my second time talking there, and I hope to see a lot of familiar faces again.
And that's this Sunday, like this weekend?
That's this Sunday. Should be June 3rd. And if no one's there, I'll be real upset.
Okay, it's going to be a busy day for me, but I'll make it. I'll try to make it. I've got a DJ meeting on the same day, and then RET, and then whatever else comes. But anyway, no, I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome, awesome.
What are you going to speak about?
Yeah, me too. So I'm going to be talking about this hobby that I was been chiming on about for like maybe the last couple of months. This hobby is where I set up a table and have conversations with people about what they strongly believe to be true. And I found like there's this really good technique to talk to people in a way that keeps the conversation positive, productive, and keeps neither side from getting defensive or turning the conversation into an argument. And I think this is really good not just for atheists, not just for theists, but really anyone, to talk about sensitive topics to people without necessarily getting them in the state where they want to have an argument with you. How can you have a conversation with people about anything? That's what I want to talk about. And I'm not just talking about it. I'm going to show videos of me doing it and being having some pretty good success at it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also break it down to how other people can do it too, because I think the more people who are empowered with this, you know, technique can go out there and have good conversations with people that allow them to reconsider what they believe, if it's particularly an unreasonable belief or if they have an unreasonable conclusion. How can we, as atheists, help them get better methods to come to more reasonable conclusions?
Right.
That's what we'll be talking about.
And anybody who's been listening to this show anytime for the last 2 or 3 months will know that he's talking about street epistemology. Would you explain what that is? I mean, what the words mean on that?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, there's two words, right? Street and epistemology, but probably the one that the most unfamiliar term is epistemology. Epistemology is actually a word that just means how we come to conclusions, or it's the study of how we come to know things.
Mm-hmm. Knowledge, really. Gaining knowledge.
Yeah, the theory of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And street is just a reference to an informal practice of asking people how they come to their conclusions. So street epistemology is just an informal way to ask people how they reach their conclusions. And it's also a non-confrontational way that allows people to really consider how they approach their methods to come to these conclusions, particularly on God beliefs, and really analyze whether or not the methods that they're using are reliable. If they're not reliable, they tend to either get better methods or abandon the conclusion if they can't get a better method. And I will talk about that. I think it's a really, really interesting topic. You can actually change people's minds.
Right. You don't make any claims in there. Matter of fact, you mostly just ask questions. You would say it's based on the Socratic method, which, of course, Socrates gave us a long time ago. Would you go into that just a little bit first?
Sure, yeah. It's not about adding, the way I think about it is sort of like you're peeling layers of an onion to get to like someone's core fundamental beliefs. And you're not adding new layers by throwing your opinions out there. You can reflect on what the person's saying, but your goal collectively is to try to get to the basis of what someone believes to be true and try to find out that foundational reason that they're using to get to that claim and whether or not that claim is reliable or not. You guys are kind of like working together as if you were having a math problem. And you're like not necessarily adversaries, you're not rivals. You're really working together like, you know, as people would as they go over like a really complicated algebraic problem. Uh-huh. Just checking the math, making sure everything adds up, and making sure that the conclusion that we get to is a good one. And if we're using
good
methods
foundation.
To get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we use a Socratic questioning to get there. It's just questions what's asked on what's the method that you use to get there? Is that reliable? Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to get into the video now, or would you like to talk a little more about the method itself?
Sure thing. I'd like to posit some things. First of all, this will be when I go down to Sunday, when I go down to East Tennessee this Sunday.
Uh-huh.
It'll be the first time I'll be talking about this. So I'm actually kind of a little bit, I'm really excited, but I'm also really nervous too. But overall, what I'd hope to show is like my quick little story of how I came to be an atheist. Like I haven't really been an atheist for a really long time. Like I think my atheism is not even old enough to drive right now.
It's a toddler
like,
atheist.
Most of people. Yeah, it's basically. It's only about like 5 years old, to be perfectly honest with you. Like I switched out at grad school. Mm-hmm. And the issue was that when I was exposed to like all these new people who came to the school, all these new perspectives, when I went to different places, it really improved not just myself, but also my standard of evidence.
Yeah.
Like the thing, like my understanding of the world was getting better. I was getting better explanations and not necessarily just answers. And with these better explanations, my standards of what I needed to believe something to be true increased. But I soon realized that the things that I believed in my entire life, the things that I was raised to believe that was true, to believe to be true, no longer met that standard.
Right.
And that put me in this really uncomfortable situation because I think even as a new atheist, a lot of people experience the phenomena of having this amazing realization that I don't have good reasons to believe this. I think my best answer is I don't know. I can't come to a God belief anymore. Like, I'm not convinced that it's true. But you can't really share that with anyone because the conversations tend to, like, fall into, like, debates or, like, arguments. Like, you don't really have the means to express it well without making other people defensive or making people, like, start to question themselves. And it always gets, like, this really uncomfortable thing because you're so excited or either tired of being shut down by other people that the conversation never ends on a positive note or even carries a one for a long period of time. And it starts to build this, I don't know, how do you put it? It's like a human nature sort of a thing. I think everyone goes through it to a degree, but like I started to feel like an invisible wall between myself and all these other people around me that I couldn't relate to, particularly on something that I thought was the most important thing in my life. Like this realization that I can't come to the conviction that they have with regards to like a supernatural entity. So
you can't accept the claim. You know, in other words, the claims.
So for what
the people who make the claims have not supplied evidence to the level of the claims, so you withhold belief at that point.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think how do I put it? We all treat it different ways. Like for a long period of time, I just said, well, it's not important. You know, forget about it. Like, we'll agree to disagree. I shut myself off from having, like, a good conversation. And, again, it just felt like I was putting up this wall between myself and everybody else where I couldn't connect with other people. And I don't think we have to be that way anymore. I think there's a method that we can use that's pretty easy with just a little bit of practice and, you know, just a very simple strategy to have these really good connections with people who don't necessarily believe what you do, but you can still have a good conversation with them about that topic and have an open-mindedness on both sides to where both sides are willing to, like, you know, accept new perspectives and possibly even change their mind for the better or get establish better methods to get to the things that they believe to be
true.
And that method's street epistemology. And I guess what I'll talk about in this, you know, interview is what SE is, why we can use SE, how it can empower atheists, how it can empower anybody, and then basically how it works. I have some clips that I'll allude to in just a quick second, but I just want to go over street epistemologists one more time.
Sure.
Street epistemology is, again, just an informal way to talk to people about coming to an understanding about how they came to know things. It's non-confrontational. It's an unbiased approach, so it works whether you believe in a God or you don't believe in a God. It can work for any belief. It can work on non-religious beliefs, for example.
Right.
Like, I've had regular talks about people who thought, you know, exercise was good. And you can use straight epistemology on that. Like, why do you think exercise is good? Oh, well, you know, I think it's good because it's nice to have a mobile lifestyle. It's like, well, talk to me a bit more. It's like, oh, and it's also good to have flexibility. And it's good to be out, and it's good to supplement that with a diet. Like, we can, like, fine-tune and refine and get better reasons for the things that even both of us might agree is a good thing. It's a really, really nice approach to have, and it's a good skill to allow people to have an opportunity to think about something that means a lot to them.
Sure, exercise their reason and their logic skills. And watch out for fallacies that are waiting in every argument.
Yeah, you can highlight some really great fallacies for someone in a way where they'll actually be like, oh, thanks for pointing that out, instead of challenging them and making them think, oh, well, he's just trying to shut me down.
Right.
But, you know, street epistemology can work as a one-on-one conversation. It can work on one on a group of people. It can even work on yourself. I can't tell you the number of times where, since I've learned this method, where I will think I know something and use street epistemology in myself to just kind of like rationalize how it came to that understanding and realize that maybe my footing isn't as good as I thought it was.
You mean reason it out. Rationalize is not really the right word for that. It means that you're making excuses for it, but you think it sounds rational for the excuses.
I've been prone to make excuses for myself as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And I think probably the most important part, and this leads into the first clip, so you can get it ready, but it avoids drama. By that, I mean, the conversations tend to be very productive and positive. And I think we're pretty familiar with at least the reputation that atheists have when they try to, I would not necessarily say convince, but, have conversations with people that quickly turn into a heated kind of debate slash argumentative format. I got a clip of that right now. This is a compilation of a bunch of clips that I found on YouTube that were very easy to find. All I have to do is put atheists talking to theists, and these were like several of the clips that showed up on like the first page, and the pages kept extending into infinitum. So I would recommend that we hear this clip real quick,
okay,
and then we'll switch over to the second clip. Yeah.
I did preview this, and I noticed that the emotions run pretty high in the first video, on the first audio here. But you assured me there's no, you did assure me that there's no profanity in it.
There is no profanity in it, because this is going to be for the REP people, and I cleared it beforehand. Yeah.
Okay. So this one's called.
There's a person who says jerk at the end. I don't know how.
Jerk.
I don't know.
Well, I guess we both said it now. Anyway, it's called X, quote, X. Like
no, it's an unlisted video. It's just the audio that I'm caring about right now. So
okay.
This is audio of what it looks like when you're not using SE.
Okay. Ready to go? Oh, by the way, this is like don't do this video.
Yes, don't do
this. This is the wrong way video. It's about 3 minutes, so we'll be right back after it.
You're judgmental. Every day, by telling people what their rights are and what they aren't.
People like you just ruined this world.
You're judgmental.
Christians are responsible for slavery.
You know why you're getting upset about it?
I'm getting upset because you are stepping on the rights of thousands of
this
Americans.
Is a freedom to me.
You're judgmental. You are lost in a fantasy.
Yes.
Okay?
It's to preach the word.
Preach what? And gay people can't.
Sir, you can't spit on. You can't spit on yourself.
Well, I know this. I could look at that sun. I could look at the sky. I could see the trees, and I know there is life. So if there is life, there has to be a creator of life.
No, there doesn't.
That's a lie. All you have to do is provide evidence. Can you provide evidence?
I'm about to.
Okay, right there, please. Evidence. Bible's got evidence.
Who caused God?
Listen,
the key point. I can
check
you.
Well, I know.
Ray,
I know what
you're
saying.
Every time.
But the
of
Lord,
course you know what I'm saying.
But
and your arrogance
Lord.
As a Christian,
yeah,
you know that.
How old are you? You don't have to believe it if you don't know it. If you don't know it, then think about it. Do you think God gave you a brain?
Again, how do you deal with you breaking the law of God? How do you deal with that?
How do you deal with this delusion of yours that there's some invisible man in the sky sitting
well,
on a cloud
it's not just that.
Down bolts
so you don't believe that Jesus walked the earth?
No!
Christians are responsible for slavery!
You just need to refuse to mock.
Okay. Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Mock your religion into extinction. That's exactly where it should be.
There's no way that
it's already happening.
God is more powerful.
It's already happening. So you have.
It's not a fairy tale.
It's
because
a fairy tale.
You
know, I'm a born again Christian.
Oh, born again.
Baptized in Jesus' name.
Who?
Filled with the Holy
Jesus
Ghost.
Who?
It's God who works
Jesus
in me.
Who?
It's false for me. It's not true.
Give me a hearing.
It is
give
wrong.
Me.
Didn't your parents teach you that?
Is he right next to you? Are you holding his hand?
Yes, I am.
You need some medication, my friend.
Hitler.
Who designed God? You're caught in a trap now. It's a logical trap where you listen.
I'm the ignorant one. I use reason and logic.
The Bible is no more proof than God exists, than a comic book is no more proof than Superman exists.
You are sick.
You need Jesus.
You're a sick person.
Thank you very much. Please.
You're welcome.
You're judgmental.
It's not going to be a two-way conversation. There's no point. Bye. Bye.
Atheism forever.
What is interesting here, actually, is we've got people from different faiths and who all believe in some kind of heaven in a different sense. But every single one of them believes in this heaven on the basis of faith. And faith, by definition, is believing in things without evidence, and personally, I don't do that because I'm not an idiot.
And that was the wrong way to approach this subject. I think that the gravitas of the issues that are involved when you're talking to religious people, I think that the worst thing we can do is sit down and shut up. So I wrote a whole article on my website called. Let's see, I had it a second ago. Yeah, there it is. The case for using ridicule in arguments with believers. Well, and in it, I basically say we can no longer sit down and shut up like we've been told to do for centuries, basically. We have to speak.
Right.
But there's a proper way to do it and an improper way to do it. And what you just heard is an improper way of doing it. However, the worst case is not speaking at all, because the harm that religion does in the world needs to be faced, needs to be addressed, and the conversation needs to be started. and not starting it or stepping back and letting it go its own way is, what is it, silence is approval. There's a bumper sticker that I like that says silence is approval. So talk to us about the way we should do it. There,
I actually got a comment on that. I think maybe what's worse is speaking up and actually doing a really, really antagonistic job of it, such to the point that you basically make your position, which it could be the atheist position, seem even worse than it was if you had been silent. Like, if you are straight up, you know, insulting people and, like, being, like, very rude and mocking them, and this is your...
Yeah, ad hominem attacks are no good. Don't use that ad hominem attack. Don't attack the person. Attack the argument.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. Because then it's just like, oh, well, someone who's actually silent, but, like, maybe on the byline they don't know which side is good, is going to look at, you know, the irrational but calm and nice Christians or the very angry, you know, antagonistic atheist who's like, correct, but is doing such a poor job of representing their case on a social level that it seems like it's just obvious that they should just follow the Christian path. Like, they actually could be turning people away from just doing it that way. So I would say, yeah, don't be silent. Definitely speak up. But inform yourself on what a good method is. And I think that's where street epistemology could be an option, just one of many. I mean, like, I think debates are really good, too. I think, like, you know, the conversations that we have, like, on call-in radio shows, like what we do right now, where people can call in and talk, is also a good avenue to have, like, a productive conversation. But, like, let's try not to be, you know, antagonistic like how we've seen in that video. Let's talk about some good ways. How about that?
Okay.
A good way to actually have a conversation is what we're going to be talking about, street epistemology, or SE. And the next clip is a compilation of SE clips with between myself and a fellow SEer situated in California at the moment. His name is Reed Nice Wonder. We previously had a guy on the show named David. He and David are good friends, and myself and Reed recently got to hang out on a podcast with Anthony Magdabosco, who's also a street epistemology guy. I've been corralled into a lot of different shows, and I think it's kind of cool to finally meet some of the people who inspired me to actually do a hobby in the first place. But anyway, this is him and I interviewing different people, and it shows, like, the more or less the three different stages of SE, where we, you know, do our brief introduction, we listen to, like, why someone explains what they believe, and then we use the Socratic method to, like, show them in a non-confrontational way that maybe that the reasoning is not as sound as they have as much confidence put into it. And once they realize that, we allow them to just, like, unravel, you know, like, why they believe it until we finally get to either a core or get to the point where they're willing to walk away from the belief. And then after that, we shake hands and say thanks. Like, they're really thankful. Anyway, here's the clip.
Okay. And for the viewers or listeners out there, there are two separate conversations going on here, so you won't get confused or too confused. Wombat and one person, and then what was the other guy's name?
Reed Nice Wonder.
And his interviewee. So it'll be cutting back and forth between them. You'll probably pick up on the different conversations after being forewarned about it. But we're about ready to start. Anything else you want to say before we get into it?
Again, this is just showing, like, the general demeanor of a lot of different conversations spliced together. Mm-hmm. But the trend is, from beginning to end, people being introduced themselves, explaining how confident they are, the reasoning behind it, the various reasons behind it.
Uh-huh.
And then after we use some Socratic questioning, like the unraveling of that understanding or that confidence they have in that methodology to the point where they're able to question why they even believe in the conclusion in the first place.
Sure.
And then a positive ending. Here we go.
Here we go.
This hobby where I chat with people about anything. Is there a particular belief you want to chat about?
Is there what?
A particular belief that you want to chat about. Something you really think is true?
Christianity.
Yeah. All right, anyway. Yeah. Ty is my name. I've got a 5-minute timer.
Okay.
At least any two people can talk about anything. Is there anything that strongly motivates you? That you think
God.
Is true? God?
Yeah.
That's a heavy topic. You want to talk about that for 5 minutes?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can talk about, I mean, I was, my background is Christianity. Mm-hmm. I was raised Southern Baptist.
I believe in God, so that would be the thing I'm the most certain about.
Okay.
First, got to get a sense of your confidence that God exists. Say on a scale from 1 to 10?
10 for sure.
10.
The existence of God.
I mean, I am 100% certain that higher power exists.
Okay.
95. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Very confident.
From like 0 to 100%. 100%, you don't need any more evidence. You're absolutely closed on the position. You think that's absolutely true?
Yep.
Okay, 100%. What got you to that 100%?
So I go to a Christian school, and I've taken a bunch of classes on theories and all these different things, and it just makes sense to me. It kind of like hits home.
For me, it's just a meditation thing. That okay. I realize that it's just a full-on, total goodness of the earth, all the plant.
I believe that there is something that has been working on my behalf in this universe.
Whatever is here had to come from somewhere.
Okay.
It's hard to imagine coming from somewhere without some sort of first cause.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's hard to think that, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. How does something making sense to you relate to the actual truth of it? Like, could someone actually be mistaken about a belief that makes sense to them?
Yeah, I think they could.
Okay.
That is a very good point. I would say...
That's an interesting perspective. So you believe that, wow, I've never ever heard that before.
Well, that's an interesting... You know, we've come around to an interesting point that I never verbalized to myself before, but I do see that, you know, I'm starting to see just from this discussion.
And the benefits I get from it.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good
perspective. I would like to believe it if it's true.
Right. But because nobody can question it, nobody can prove it. You can't prove faith. You can't prove any of these things. It's like, why am I believing this? You may be onto something, man.
Yeah, so.
That's powerful stuff, man.
Thanks, yeah. It's just stuff to think about, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. That's really enlightening. I never thought about it like that.
That's true.
Right.
That's a good way to look at it.
I like to think about it that way. And that, if anything, that puts you in a more reasonable position.
Well, thanks.
Yeah?
All right. Cool. Have a good evening. It was good chatting with you.
Good chatting with you as well.
All right. Have a good evening.
Have a good one.
And we're back. It was hard to hear on some of that. I turned it up. I had the gain up pretty much all the way on that channel, and it was still kind of hard for me to hear in my headphones. But I think we got the gist of it anyway. It was polite. It was just questions. You weren't making any claims or counterclaims to what they were saying. You just led a conversation through a minefield of fallacies and tried to help them come out the other side.
Right. I think what's cool is that we start, like, you, as you said, it's a minefield of fallacies most of the time. But if you are willing to think of it as, like, helping someone clean out a shed, you wouldn't just, like, run in there and just tell them, this place is a mess, and, like, start knocking things over and, like, make a bigger mess as the situation continues.
Sure.
What you would say is, like, okay, let me help you take out this lamp. You want to help me with it? And we'll both take out the lamp, and then we'll look for something else to take out, and we'll do it one at a time. And if we can methodically get one fallacy done at a time as we work our way towards, like, the back of the shed, we can be like, oh, here's where, like, the thing that we're looking for is. And we can, like, take that out and say, is this the reason, like, we were trying to clean up the shed? They'll be like, yeah. It's like, great. You don't need this dirty shed. This reason is good enough on its own. You're like, oh, and they'll be like, oh, thank you very much. So, like, for the most part, we have a goal when we have SEA. And more or less, this is how it works. We want to challenge the method. And what I mean by that is think of a conversation where you're having a conversation with Theus as like a straight line. Just think of like a straight line as an image. And on one end you have the person, and at the other end you may have their God belief or essentially their conclusion.
Right.
And in the middle of that line is the method. It's a connector between the person and their conclusion. So you got person, method, conclusion. The thing is, people tend to invest a lot of ego or, like, energy in themselves, the person, as well as their conclusion. Like, they, you'll notice that when you ask someone, like, so, like, what are you? They'll say, I'm a Christian. Like, I'm an atheist, or I'm a Pittsburgh fan.
They'll identify with the conclusion, too. I mean,
they identify with it so much that line that I was referencing before, it's more like a loop where both ends of that line are basically overlapping each other. Hmm. That's the person and the conclusion. They both overlap with each other. So when you ask a question that targets the conclusion, a lot of people can take that as a personal offense, as if you attack them personally,
right,
because they so closely related those
that's
two together.
Their baby.
Yeah, it's like, my Christianity is me. I can't separate myself from it. So my God's me. I can't separate myself.
Well, hold some of that for the second half of the show. We've got to take a station identification break here.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
At the bottom of the hour, this is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're on WOZO 103.9 LP FM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a little bit. Coming up, I'm going to play a song by Sarah McLachlan. It's been around for quite a while. It's called Dear God.
No perfect case, no phony crime. You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on Wozo 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Okay, so you got the phone number, and you're certainly welcome to call in. The phone lines are open, 865-333-5937, Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. First, there is the Atheist Society of Knoxville. I founded that in 2002. We're in our 16th year now. ASK has has over 800 members now, about 825 members. You can find us online in KnoxvilleAtheist.org, or you can go to meetup.com and search for Knoxville Atheist, or go to Google and just Google Knoxville Atheist. Just that simple. If you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't have one? Start one.
Start one.
That's right. Also, you can join Ask in Person by directly just coming down and meeting up with us. We happen to meet every Tuesday at, where is it now? Oh, Black Horse Pub. It's in Bearden on Kingston Pike. We meet there every Tuesday for happy hour for food, drink, and conversation and dinner. And we usually stay from about 5:30 to 7. So come on down. Everybody's welcome as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. That's the one you're coming down to talk to this Sunday. So that would be a good time to come down and check them out. Come to the Rationalists of East Tennessee at Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road this Sunday. They meet the first and third Sunday. But this Sunday, your own Wombat will be there to speak. So come down, meet him, meet me, and meet everybody in the Rationalists of East Tennessee. Good folks. There's also the Sunday Assembly, which started in England just a couple of years ago and has spread around the world. It's a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in God, but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They only meet once a month on the fourth Sunday. Just go downtown to the International Building near the old World's Fair Park. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Atheist Call-In TV show. Well, it's the Free Thought Forum. You can see it every Tuesday between 6:30 and 7:30, so it's just off now. It goes on about the same time we are, so it's a good thing to watch while you're waiting for our show. You can also find archives of their shows on YouTube, where a fan has been recording and posting them. Just go to YouTube and look up Free Thought Forum Knoxville. And that's about it. And where did we leave off there, Wombat?
Sure. We just showed some clips on what conversations look like when you are typically not using SC, which tend to boil into a debate or argument, or when you're using SC, where you can actually have the person reconsider their position on a God or even any kind of belief, or really reflect on how they came to their conclusions and hopefully get a better method out of the process. But it's done in a positive and really caring, empathetic, and productive way. So the strategy behind it is basically asking questions that don't target the person or the conclusion, because people tend to very closely identify with themselves and their conclusions. And you know that when they say, like, I'm a theist, I'm a Christian, I'm a Baptist, like, these are people who identify with their conclusions. So, like, questions that target, like, maybe their beliefs can be taken personally, and that sort of shuts down the person that you're talking to. It makes them more reluctant to express themselves to you, to open up themselves to you, and really to reconsider their position. What SC does is ask questions that address the method that they use, which connects them to their conclusion. And there's much less ego invested there. And so by addressing the method, you can really get people to reconsider their position. So one of two things will happen. One, they'll either get a better method, and by better method I mean a more reliable method, which is great because as atheists we should be open to the idea of more reliable methods to reach our conclusions. And then the second thing is, in the event that they can't find a better method to get to their conclusion, they lose that tie that connects them to their conclusion. And they, as a result, they tend to, over time, abandon that conclusion. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it happens in 5 minutes. Sometimes it happens in, like, you know, like a week after the talk or so. But they will tend to just drop their confidence in their conclusion and look for better methods to get them to either a different conclusion or a very similar idea that could be better addressed in a future conversation when someone else is willing to have, like, a good conversation with them and about why they believe and why they believe it.
One of the best things about this method is if you have a conclusion that is sound, and you will be able to verify that it's sound. We have talked about it in the past that the truth does not fear investigation. If it's true, investigating it won't prove it wrong if it actually is true. However, if you've got a belief that you find out has no good basis for believing it, isn't it better that you know now rather than carry that belief all your life?
Right. Exactly. I think that's a fantastic point. Like, you should be willing to know if the things that we know aren't true, because we should have a vested interest in trying to believe as true, as many true things as possible and as few false things as possible. Isn't that what they say?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a video on YouTube that would talk about the hooks of religious belief. When you raise your children to have religious hooks and hooks that are based in religion and infesting your child, something like a belief in God, belief in hell, belief in the afterlife, belief in sin, all of these things which have no foundational evidence for believing them, they are then, other people are able to manipulate that child using those religious hooks. So you're making your child more vulnerable to attacks and influence and victimization. If you insert these religious hooks in them, than if you hadn't. And you need to find out if those hooks are valid or not. And it's a good reason just to go checking it out and verifying them. But like I say, truth has no worry about investigation. Go ahead and investigate them.
And not only that, but it's one thing to just know that, but it's also another thing to keep someone open to the idea that you're not there to try to, like, brainwash them yourself, like when you try to have these conversations. What you can't necessarily change a person's mind, but you can give them the tools to change their own mind. And in this capacity, like, if people say, hey, I believe in true things, but they still believe in, like, things that may not necessarily be reasonable. There's a cognitive dissonance there, and you have to know how to, like, disassemble that if you're trying to get through to them, because you don't want to trigger, like you said, their minefield.
You know, maybe you might want to go into what cognitive dissonance means. I mean, you use the phrase and assume people know what you're talking about.
Sure. So cognitive dissonance essentially is believing two things that would naturally contradict each other, but holding both positions in one, you know, mind. So, like, if I believe, like, there's no such thing as the supernatural, but I also believe in a supernatural God, that's an issue or an example of cognitive dissonance. And I think a lot of people are more susceptible to it than they think. There's probably cognitive dissonances on things that I carry. Like, for example, I don't think myself very superstitious, but I am known to do things that are based on luck or based on things that I feel keep me safe, when really they maybe have no basis on any, like, rational positions. So I think this is, like, a human tendency to, like, be contradictory in the way that we believe things. What do you think?
Yeah, I've always thought it was holding two mutually contradictory beliefs at the same time, but I guess they wouldn't absolutely have to contradict. It's just that they opposed each other would be good enough.
Yeah, that's fine with me. How about we play a quick challenge, real quick?
Okay.
So, like I said, we want to ask questions that challenge the method and not challenge the person or the conclusion. I'll throw out a question to you, and you let me know if I'm challenging either the person, the method, or the conclusion. How about that? You want to try it real quick?
Sure.
We'll do three questions. First question, so I talked with a guy named Tim. He told me that he knew his God is real because of personal experiences. That was his proof, that he had personal experiences that proved that his God was real. So here's a response that you could give, and I want to know if this question addresses the person, the method that they're using, or the conclusion. Here's the response. Just because you had a personal experience doesn't make your God real.
I think that attacks the conclusion.
Okay, that's interesting. Just because you had a personal experience doesn't make your God real. It, you know, in a way it kind of does because they do personally identify with the conclusion.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
We could say that, like, there's this weird thing when you ask a question, when you do your response.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you, like, for example, like, how do you know you're not, or could you be mistaken? That is a trigger for a lot of people, because when you say you, they right. only hear them. They only hear themselves. And, like, again, there's a lot of ego invested in themselves. And while it may not be a big deal to you, for them, that could be an issue that they are challenged. Like, you just said me. You just said you a lot in that response. I feel like you're challenging me.
Sure.
Like, so instead of saying things like, could you be wrong? I would say things like, can your method be wrong? Because then I'm talking about the method. And
or
not necessarily
people in
conclusion.
General. Could people be wrong right. if they use that method?
So I would say, like, just because you had a personal experience doesn't make your God real is definitely a challenge on the person. And it could trigger them. Like, you need to be aware of, like, how you phrase your questions when you talk to mm-hmm. people. And try to do your best to make them understand that you're not talking about them or the conclusion. You're talking about, like, the way they came to their conclusion.
Right.
And that's a completely different thing.
And what's funny... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go for it, please.
No, I was going to say, what's funny is that I would have taken it a different route. If they had said something that they had a personal experience and now they believe in God, I would have gone more with, are we, you know, 100% sure that we interpret the experiences correctly? I mean, I've got a friend who every time he's at home and he feels a cool draft, he thinks it's a ghost, you know, and that's a personal experience, but he interprets it incorrectly. You know,
that's
so,
a great way of, or like, is there possibilities that our personal experiences that we have could lead us to a false conclusion?
Right.
Things like that.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of, like, asking them to think about the method that they're using to get to the conclusion. You're not telling them personal experiences are dumb. You're just saying, is there a way that the method that you're using can also lead to a false conclusion as well?
Right.
And if you're considering that, how much confidence are you putting into this God using a method that could be both right and wrong or could lead you to a true conclusion and a false conclusion?
Uh-huh.
Like, that question that you presented is a good way to challenge the method.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good way to challenge the conclusion, or a good way to, like, you know, attack, or a bad way, a bad way to attack the conclusion is basically saying, like, that's not evidence, or personal experiences aren't really, like, good ways to understand that, or, like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, or sometimes I've said these things, like, well, I don't believe that. Like, all those phrases
mm-hmm.
just shut the argument down.
Right.
Like, those are typically things that you would say to end talking.
And worse, it stops thinking.
Right.
I mean, you don't give them an avenue to pursue it in their own mind to come to a healthy outcome.
Right. It's good to ask open-ended questions, but it's also good to ask questions that continue the conversation and help the person continue to think about why they believe what they believe.
Right.
And challenge the epistemology of why they came to that conclusion. And not just shut them down with throwing out an opinion or an attack on what they believe or on them. Like we'd seen in the first video, like, these guys are like, you're responsible for thousands of years of slavery. Like, you don't want to bring that up. Like, that's not going to get anywhere. What you really want to do is ask the questions like how you mentioned. Like, this method that you're using, how reliable is it? And sometimes does it lead you, like, to a false conclusion? Like, if you're 100%, like, sometimes you'll hear people say they're 100%, like you did in the second clip. You should have, like, a pretty good method that leads you to a right answer at least 100% of the time, right? Like, so if I can use personal experiences and they lead me to a false conclusion, how can I get to 100% using a method that's...
Or at least a higher percentage. You want to try to improve, even if you don't reach 100%, you want to strive to get better. And then when you get better with practice.
So what will happen is if you throw that question out, what you're really doing is, as I said, cleaning out the shed. You'll take out one thing at a time. And what Tim had did during our interview is, so he revised his claim. So he says, well, maybe it's not personal experience. Maybe the reason why I believe in a God is because of science. And again, I'm not going to attack him. I'm not going to attack his conclusion. What I'll say is like, so what do you mean by that? Can you rephrase
right, sure.
that? I'll
he have needs him, to flesh that I'll out.
I'll ask him to express a claim. I've had a lot of times just rephrasing or repeating back the exact same thing a person tells me
uh-huh.
is just enough for them to process the information differently. Because once saying something out loud out of your mouth doesn't mean you're listening to what you're saying. When someone repeats the same words back to you, you process it differently, and you might even argue or rebuke the thing that I just said, which is basically your own words. So, for example, I've had a person tell me, the reason why I believe in God is because of all the scientific evidence. And I'll say, oh, so are you saying there's a lot of scientific evidence that, you know, is the reason why you believe in this God? And they'll say, no, that's not what I'm saying. Uh-huh. The reason why I'm saying is I'm saying a lot of scientists say that there's a God. And I'm like, oh, that's a different thing. So you could see like how just having someone like hear what their own words is a good way to like get to like a more fundamental belief. And so if someone says that they believe in science, I tend to think that we don't really have in science reliable ways to test the supernatural. So asking them to like clarify what they mean is a good way to like get an understanding of what they mean, and then see if like they are aware of, you know, a test that science can do to test the supernatural, if they can explain it. If not, maybe can we come to an understanding that science is limited? And if it's limited, is it really a reliable way to support the God claim? And if not, what's the more reliable method? Let's keep digging down to a foundational belief. What do you think so far?
I mean, even the question itself, what could possibly be more reliable than the scientific method to be coming to evidence for anything? And
right.
that would allow them to think about, you know, the different possible ways, you know, mystics and psychics and tarot card reading, you know, or whatever, to come up, even praying about it. You know, what is another
right.
good way of coming up with truth about our universe and our world?
I won't necessarily,
you know, besides science.
I won't tell you the better way, but I will tell you what the reason they'll probably give is. So what they'll end up giving you is a foundational statement. The foundational statements are typically, I can't believe it without X, or without X, my confidence in this belief will drop dramatically. And typically you'll do things like, I can't come to my God belief without faith, or I need faith to believe this to be true. Faith tends to be the foundation, and you could always ask, is faith the foundation of your belief, and get,
yeah.
like, you know, a response for there.
Yeah.
But,
and I know how I would answer that, but let's go
say?
Into what you would say about it, and when they bring up the F word. They say I can't believe it without faith. What do you say?
Oh, hold up, that's funny. So if they bring up the F word, what I like to do is just immediately get clarification by what they mean by it before we continue.
Uh-huh.
Like, what do you mean when you say faith? Because I have an understanding of faith, but it may not be the same understanding that they
sure.
have. And it's
mm-hmm.
best to work with what's given to you, not with what you assume that what's given to you. And it also helps them from wiggling out of, like, responses later on.
Mm-hmm.
So ask them for a clear definition of faith.
Yeah.
And then immediately ask them if that's reliable, if that's a reliable way to come to a conclusion.
Right.
You know, like, typically the responses they give to you aren't reliable methods to get to a conclusion. And if it's something that they can recognize is not reliable, then go back to their confidence in the belief.
Mm-hmm.
How can you use this unreliable method to come to such a high confidence mm-hmm. in this belief?
Well, I'm
typically,
sure we...
That's, oh,
go ahead.
Go for it.
I was going to say, surely we have listeners right now who are saying that faith is reliable. Can you give me some reason why it wouldn't be or might not be?
Sure. The thing is, with faith is you can tend to... Because, okay, I can have faith in one God, and someone can have faith in a different God, a completely different God.
Right.
But we could both be using the same method to believe in either God. And, you know, you'll have some people who are religious who say, well, as long as they're believing in some God, that's all that matters. But the thing is, if we use a definition of faith, which is like believing in the things unseen, or Romans 1:10, like belief in the things that are unseen, I could have faith that there's no gods. You know, I could utilize faith to believe that. And someone could believe that they... there is a God using faith. And if someone believes that there's no gods using faith, and someone believes that there is God,
and they claim that themselves. How many times have I heard? There's even a book out there called I Don't Have Enough Faith Not to Believe in God. You know, they're just basically trying to throw the faith word back at us and say, you got faith, there is no word, and there is no God.
Right.
So, okay, well, fine, have it your way. Faith will or can lead you to a false conclusion then, obviously,
right?
You know, from your point of view.
But not only that, but it can lead you to two completely contradictory positions,
yes,
where someone uses faith to believe that there's no God, and someone uses faith to believe that there is God. And they can't both be right.
Yeah.
So then the question is, how valuable is faith if it can get you to conclusions where one is necessarily not viable?
Yeah. And another thing about faith, I've got a card that I hand out at the atheist meetups. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek card, and it's got a smiley face on it with a thumb up.
I remember that.
And it says, faith is incredible. With faith, you can believe anything, which is absolutely true. You know, any religion, any supernatural beliefs, you know, all you got to do is just have faith. Well, you can believe anything, and that doesn't make good grounds for believing anything.
Not only that, but it's not falsifiable. When you have a position of faith, you can't test it to know what it looks like when it doesn't work or when it didn't lead you to the right conclusion. And as a result, when you don't know what it looks like, when you have no idea of what it will look like when it doesn't work, you can't claim that you know what it looks like when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you might have something that doesn't work.
Final,
and you may not be able to recognize it. That's why it's important to know why things.
Right. Final words.
Be falsified.
We're coming up to the top of the
hour.
Final
word. At the end of the conversation, with just that conversation alone, once you get dismiss the foundational claim, leave them on a positive note, end the talk. Typically, they'll just say they don't know, but that's enough to have them really consider the position and have a really polite or a positive reflection on the conversation that they had. That ultimately leads them to either getting a better foundation or abandoning the conclusion that they had.
Hold on a second. Okay.
Hi there. Hey, Wombat. How are you? It's on. It was Heather.
Hey, Heather. What's up?
It's been a while. Long time since I've seen you. I won't keep you.
Yeah, she just wanted to come in and say hi. So, welcome, Heather.
Sweet.
And
Heather, our final words?
Yeah, I do. Pride Parade is coming up, and we're going to join the parade as a kind of a support for the gay community here in Knoxville. That'll be June 23rd, and I think it starts at the Knoxville Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
So be there, be square, and you'll find some of your fellow atheists there in the parade following a banner that we have that says Atheist Society of Knoxville on it. And for my final thoughts as we sign out, like I usually do, I'll tell you not to worry about hell. Everybody's going to somebody else's religion's hell. So the only time to worry about it is when they prove that souls and heaven and hell are real, and you have good reason to worry about it. Right now, we don't have any reason to worry about it. Anyway, see you next week at 7 o'clock. Say bye, Wombat.
Bye, Wombat.
Say bye, Heather.
Bye.
And we'll see you next week at 7 o'clock at usual time on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.